Hey everyone, it's Chad Weiss. Welcome to the No Bays or Somebody's podcast. I appreciate you, of course, downloading, streaming, finding us, listening, subscribing, however you find the podcast. I appreciate that you found it, and I'm glad you're here with me once again for this fine Monday, December the 5th, 2017. Thanks for stopping by again. And I just have something that's crossed my mind a few minutes ago, actually, before I even pressed the record button, is, you know, why do computers have a recycle bin and not a garbage bin for the trash? You know how you delete files off your computer? And of course you have the recycle bin. Oh, I'll throw it in the recycle bin. Oh, I don't want this file anymore. Throw it in the recycle bin. I remember years ago, like in the 90s, when I first started using a Mac computer, or first started using computers in school, way back in the 90s, the mid 90s, the Oasis days and the garbage days, garbage of the band, I mean, the Hole days, the Nirvana days, all the alternative days, Pearl Jam, all that good stuff when I was still in school. And before I dropped out, no, I'm just kidding, I didn't drop in 95. But I remember when I was using the computer, there was a garbage bin on the Mac computers that we used in school. And then as Windows came about and things changed and the systems were upgraded, I noticed it changed to a recycle bin. I don't remember exactly when that happened, but I just was looking at that now before I pressed the record button. I just saw my recycle bin on my laptop here, and I thought, that's interesting. Has anyone ever had this thought? Like, when you put files into the recycle bin, quotation, recycle bin, you want to delete them. You want them gone from your computer forever. You want them. You've chosen that whatever horrendous file you have on your computer, shame on you. You're getting rid of it, right? And you're deleting it. You never want it to return again. You want it gone. But then you put it in a recycle bin. Now, I'm no dictionary, but if you recycle something, it means to reuse it and reapply it. We recycle bottles and cardboard and stuff all around our fair cities every day, right, for a greener environment. So we keep it fresh and we renew it. We keep it going again. So you're putting these files that you've shamed from, and you're throwing them in the recycle bin. You get what I'm saying here? You're recycling these files, and you want to delete them forever into the garbage, as it were, because garbage, well, sometimes that can last forever too, unfortunately, in the landfills. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's garbage, and it'll never come back. But we're going to recycle these smutty files, these dirty, nasty files that you want to, you're ashamed of. You're recycling them. You know, it's like, I keep bringing that up, that you're ashamed of these files. I mean, why else would you delete stuff if you're not ashamed of it, right? But yeah, so why are we recycling files we want to get rid of permanently off our computer? Just a question I'm posing out there to the nobodies or somebody's listening community, or anyone out there who wants to ponder that and get back to me with an answer. I'd love to hear it. I think that's I don't know, that's something I just thought about now at the late hour, and just thought I'd bring it up. Let's move on. Where to find us? Not at the recycling plant. Where to find the No Bays or Somebody's podcast? Of course, you can check out the Facebook group, which has been up for a while now. And looking forward to hearing people come over and have a conversation, see what's going on, chat with other guests, former guests of the podcast, as well as themselves. I'd like to hear from everybody and everyone and what everyone thinks. Of course, just do a search on Facebook. Just type it in. I know you're on there now. Just get your little tab out there. And type in Nobody's or Somebody's podcast official, and you'll find us. You'll find me. Meet Chad Weiss. There I am. And along with some of my former and currently recurring guests that always show up on my podcast, because, you know, I beg them to come back because I just love them so much and they're good guests, and I don't want to be alone on that week. So I call them up to come back. But yeah, so come and check out the Facebook page, and hopefully you'll see something you like. And and let me know what you think. Start a conversation. Give me your... That's a great place to get feedback. I'd love to hear feedback from you. If you want to give feedback to me, I'd love to hear it there, because you can get in touch with me directly. You can get in touch with other guests, and you can ask them questions that maybe I didn't ask or didn't care to ask about these people. You can do that there. You can get in touch with them. You can get in touch with me. You can give me suggestions. I love suggestions, like who to get on the show, their features you might like to see, maybe some ads you'd like to see ran. If you have an ad to run, you want to do some business, a little business, we can talk about that there too. Maybe not there specifically, but we can get in touch and work. We can do a lot of things. Maybe you can tell me to cancel my show. You can do whatever you like. You can get in touch with me there, and I'd love to hear from everybody. So definitely looking forward to that. want to mention a little milestone I've reached, but I didn't do it alone. In fact, I didn't reach it. It's because of you people out there who are listening to my podcast right now, listening to the sound of my voice. At least 500, actually, to be specific, 502 of you have listened to my podcast in the month of November. And this is for you. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, friend girls. Thank you, everyone who's listening to this podcast and who has pushed it up over the 500 mark last month of November. That is a banner mark. I was close to that in the month of October. Got to about 414. And I just said to myself, I wonder if I can push it. I wonder if I can do something, maybe promote it a little more, maybe get the word out to the people, just talk more about it, go in different places, sign up for different services. I just really, started pounding the pavement, as it were, and trying to get people educated on the fact that I have a podcast, and even, getting people to listen to it, if only for once, at least to give them a chance to try it out and see if it's their fancy. And 502 people fancied it enough to listen to it at least once, and I appreciate that. And hopefully we'll come back for more episodes. Hopefully I can push that. Hey, now I'm going to be bold and ask for the 1,000 mark. Oh, we're going to go to the 1,000 mark. Of course, maybe not next month, but you know what? Dream big, think big. That's the goal. Make it to the 1,000 mark. Just keep pushing the numbers up, getting this out to more people, and hopefully getting more feedback. I just love the reach that it's already gotten since I started in January of this year. January 30th of 2017, to be specific. And I appreciate everyone who's gotten in touch and who's listening. And I love hearing from all you guys. I hear from people on my Instagram account who are loving the content, or at least make comments that they're enjoying it. And I appreciate that too. And you guys can reach me anywhere in many places, which I'll tell you about in a minute as I get through my long spiel here. Definitely, I want to hear from everybody. Facebook page is definitely a way to start, but I'm available in multiple ways and platforms and services. So just wave. All you gotta do is wave your computer, and I'm sure I'll see chat voices all over the computer. Not in a bad way, of course, but you know what I'm trying to say. So definitely thank you to everyone who's listening, and I hope you keep listening and bring in your friends and enemies and keep listening more. So I'll tell everybody. Something I did this week, ventured further into the state of New York. Seems like that's the only place I go. Hey, it's piece by piece at a time. I'm slowly making my way across America, chad vice across America. I'm taking on the state of New York, okay? I've passed Messina, gone through all that. Now I've moved on to Watertown. That's where I ventured out to. Did some holiday shopping and exploring through Watertown. Pictures of which of some of that can be found on my Instagram account, as I mentioned a few seconds ago, at SubCamCo, if you want to check out pictures of that and much more things that I do. Just because I'm a total tourist when I'm out and about in the state of New York, and I act like it, I drive like it, I sound like it, I look like it, and I act like it, and I drive like it. So definitely I was proud to be there and definitely making my way through the state of New York. More towns to come. You be ready. Chad Weiss is coming to your town. If you recognize me, and how could you not? If you're in New York State, you can do one of two things. You can approach me in the store and say, hey, Chad Weiss, love your podcast. Or you can turn the other way like most people do. But either way, definitely I'm headed to your town. So Hopefully, maybe I'll see you, but I'm definitely enjoying exploring New York and making use of that passport. So, and hopefully I'll get some guests out in the States as well, too. Of course, still planning to get my unpaid agent to take me on a adventure ride down to the southern states. Of course, we mentioned those before. We were supposed to go to South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia. And still looking to make that happen. Just giving Denise her travel time a break. She's been on the go, having a lot of things going on with her family and her life. So definitely want to give her the time that she needs, and we'll get back on it, and we'll make things happen. That's the goal. And keep pushing those numbers up too as well. So let me get quickly to my ad promos before I jump into this week's show. Of course, this week's show, I'll just give you a heads up, I'm recording this intro before I actually speak to my guest, Leah Flagel, before I get a chance to talk to her. I'm doing this intro, so I'll comment more on the episode next week. What we learned, her story, I haven't heard it all. I've heard bits and pieces of it. I don't want to give too much away now. It's definitely an interesting story. It's definitely a painful story that it may be hard for some people to hear. I will warn you now, there could be some not explicit as far as dirty language, but there's some series of events that happened in her life that are quite dramatic and sensitive to some people, and I just want to give everyone a warning about that. If it's not your cup of tea, and if it's not something you're want to relive or think about or whatever, I totally understand that, and this may not be the episode for you, but I definitely hope you check it out. I hope you'll get some value from what she's saying and just listen to her story. That's all I can say. The pieces that she told me, they're heartbreaking. There's positive pieces, but there's a lot of negativity. But it's, you know what? It's the goal that's made her the end goal so far has made her the happy, positive person that she is right now. And that's what I'm ultimately trying to get across to everyone is who she is now. This is the stuff that shaped her past, and this is what will make her who she is today and what she and person she is today. She's happy with, she's comfortable with, and she's a bright and loving person. And hopefully that comes through as well too. So I'll get to that pretty soon. This is her conversation, so I'll let her start. We'll start off with my usual question that she won't know about until, well, by the time you're hearing this, she will have already known my patented opening question. You know what it is, that first question I ask most of my guests, just to start the whirlwind of an episode, I'm going to ask her. I'm going to say it. Don't make me say it. I'm going to say it. So definitely can't wait to see how this episode turns out. I think it's going to be good. I think you'll get a lot of from this, and hopefully you'll stick with me for this. But first I'll get to 20 questions on a not so serious note. I'll get to another set of 20 questions I've done with Richard, don't call me Dick, Mystery. I sent him another 20 questions, and these ones were a little bit more raunchy, maybe a little more tweaking, maybe a little more, I don't know the word for it. I just went a little deeper, got a little more comfortable asking him some little more provoking questions this time around. Dig a little bit at him. Of course, I'm working him hard to be a guest of mine, and hopefully he says yes, please say yes, please. Hopefully he says yes to being a guest on the show. Cross my fingers, and if you out there, cross your fingers too. If you want to give me, if you want to hear Richard, give me a hell yeah to borrow from Stone Cold Steve Austin. If you want to have Richard as a guest on here and you want to hear what he's got to say, Richard Mystery, let's let him be a mystery no more and have him come down to the show sometime, maybe sometime in season two. What a way to kick off season two, right, if we could do that or get him involved somehow. But here's hoping. But at least we got another 20 questions with him, and this time he told me I could dig a little deeper if I wanted to, and he's more than willing to be a willing participant in these crazy games, head games I'm giving. So definitely very stoked and happy that he's willing to be a part of this, and definitely looking forward to getting him on the show at some point. So I'll give him another 20 questions, which I'll post as well. The transcription of that I'll post on the Facebook page as well. There's another reason for you to go visit the Facebook page, because the whole list of questions and exactly what he answered will all be written there on the Facebook post, which you can comment on and thumbs up, thumbs down, all that good stuff. So we'll get to Richard here in a couple minutes with his 20 questions and then move on to my interview with Leah. But before that, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, this is the last week before this coming Thursday. You have a few more days to get your tickets in, your ticket purchase in. Support Tico Travels, obviously, as we mentioned before, Autism Awareness, her fundraiser, What's in Your Sleigh, karaoke night happening at Burlington, Ontario, Canada, if you're there at the Boston Pizza. And of course, the location of that is 3120 South Service Road in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. If you're around there, stop in and see Christine Francis Poe, my former guest, hosting a fundraiser with her family band, playing some cover tunes, playing some great karaoke. And of course, tickets for that event are on sale. $20 per person, 50% of those proceeds going to Boston Pizza to cover the cost of the food. And you get a ticket prize of a fun night of karaoke, fabulous dinner buffet, which is pizza, pasta, and salad. Everyone goes home with a door prize, and to purchase your ticket, you can send her a personal message or contact her directly. Email christine@tico.ca. That's Christine with a C at tico.ca. The very limited quantities available of the tickets, so you got to get yours soon. I know I've been saying to get it early, but you got to really beg and plead to get those tickets because they're going out of style, just like my fashion. So win a trip to Ottawa with games as well. You can do that. Dining out and about the town and have a hotel stay along with many other things. You can check out details of that, exactly what you get in the Ottawa trip. Tickets for those are $10 each or five for 20. You can definitely, again, send her an email, christine@tico.ca, T-I-K-K-O.ca, and the website www.tico.ca or at Tico Travels on the Facebook page. You can reach out to her in millions of different ways and get your tickets now. Support a great cause. You got to do it. I got to tell you something else, guys. I just shirt myself. I'm sorry if it happens. I just shirt myself. What should I do? I should probably get a t-shirt, and so should you. There's a little Dr. Seuss rhyme for you. at I Just Shirt Tees on Facebook. Again, speaking about Christine Francis Poe, she just launched a t-shirt website. You can check that out on the Facebook page. It's also at www.i, like the letter I, justshirt.com. A new website of hers, and new teaser being added daily. So if you don't see something you like, send her a contact message, and they'll have what you're looking up for on their site within about 24 hours, she says. So give her a shout out, and you can also, like I said, visit her Facebook page at ijustshirttees. And you'll see some designs and some cool, funny things. Everyone needs a laugh. Everyone needs something fun in their life. And we always have serious things going on. And this is definitely not to be taken seriously, but definitely cool shirts. And you should definitely take these cool shirts seriously and pick one up today. Show your love. Show your support. And visit Christine Francis Poe. IJustShirt.com. I just shirt myself. Why not? It happens, right? And don't forget, we're available on Blueberry. It's one of our many platforms that the podcast is available on. If you have a podcast, and you probably should by now, because if I can do it, so can you, when I host it on Blueberry. You can use promo code, like I've said before, Nobody, N-O-B-O-D-Y, to get 1 month of free hosting on the Blueberry platform. How's that for being a nobody? So, exactly. It's great. So, you got a platform, you got a podcast, you want to get it out to the people, Blueberry will help you do that. Remember, Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, that's how they spell it, and so should you. And use, like I said, promo code NOBODY, N-O-B-O-D-Y, 1 month free, ever hosting. Definitely look into it. Take advantage of it. Do it now. And speaking of hosting places, you can all find me on Acast, Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play Music, SoundCloud, Revoice, Player FM, Blueberry, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Libsyn hosting site, nobodiesaresomebodies.libsyn.com. And of course, if you're shopping still, because, you know, Christmas is coming, my birthday's coming, lots to buy for, okay? If anyone asks, it's December 16th, okay? Just to let you know, it's not there yet, but it's coming. You can go to subcampco.com if you want to buy me a record of my own and give it back to me, and just to say thank you, and thank you, Chad Weiss. But if you do that, you can use, if you're listening to this podcast, exclusive code, N-O-B-O-D-I-E-S, Nobodies, to get 50% off your total order without a minimum purchase. Just add a bunch of records to your cart. Even add one record to your cart. You buy it, put in that code, 50% off. Not so hard, you can do it. Then head on over to subcamcoshop.com. Take 20% off your total purchase. Same deal. Buy one thing, buy 10 things, buy 3.5 things. Get 20% off, no minimum purchase off your total or cart order. And hook yourself up for something nice for your friends, family, everybody for Christmas. Can't miss that. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask nicely for Christmas to visit my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/nobodiesaresomebodies, all in word. Help me get to my goal of purchasing new and better recording equipment for telephone so I can do more telephone interviews with better quality. I know I've done a few in the past, and I've always lamented the quality of them as far as my voice goes and being heard, and nothing beats my awesome Blue Yeti microphone. They don't support this podcast, but I do love the Blue Yeti, so I'm going to talk about it because that's what I use and I love it. But I want to get some nice recording equipment for recording people over the phone if they can't make it to me in person, or if I can't make it to them for whatever reason. My goal is to raise some money to buy better equipment so I can make it sound better, so I can improve the quality of experience for you, the listener, and you can hear our guests, you can hear me, and you can just have a better overall show when I do the phone. I realize I can't get to all guests, but there's tons of guests I want to get to that I'm limited to because of the phone. I don't want that to be a limitation anymore. I want to reach out to everybody all over the world if I can. If you're there and you want to be a member of you want to be a guest on my podcast, and all I got to do is send you an invitation and do a little phone chat. I love to do it. And the best way to do that is to have the recording equipment that properly captures that and makes it better for everyone involved. You, the listener, and of course, me, the host, feeling better knowing that I've got this awesome interview captured perfectly on a nice sound with a nice equipment. So that's my goal. If you have a 2 cents, 1 cent, 10 cents, if you want to drop a dime in the bucket, I love it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you stopping by patreon.com as I work through the page and make new videos and new content, which I will do, which I've been threatening to do. And the threat is real. I will still get it done, I promise. So look for new content to come there. patreon.com/nobodiesaresomebodies. Don't forget to say hello to me on Twitter, at SubCamCo, Instagram, at SubCamCo, Google+, that's Chad Weiss, Pinterest, SubCamCo, and the YouTube channel, SubCamCo TV. You can find me in all these places, more places than most people have faces. You can definitely find me there. Looking forward to everyone reaching out to me. I thank you so much, like I said again, for listening to this podcast. I couldn't do this without you, and I wouldn't do this without you. And I appreciate everyone who listens so much from the bottom of my heart to you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for listening to all the guests previously and more guests to come in the future. But now, without further ado, here is 20 Questions More with Richard
Mystery.
Once again, it's time for 20 Questions with Richard. Hello, Miss Mystery. A little black and blue action for you. Here we go. Let me pull up his 20 questions here. All right, here we go. Number one, what makes you so upset? How far would you go when you were pushed over the limit, and what makes you upset the most? And Richard says, dealing with stupid people makes me upset. I wouldn't know how far, as I usually just burn off the anger in a workout. Things I cannot change make me upset the most. Number two, have you ever gotten upset at work, and how did you handle it? He says, yes, I have gotten upset at work lots of times. I just breathe in and out and remind myself it's not worth it, and I just used any leftover energy in a workout. Perfect. Number three, have you ever tried yoga? I asked him, and I told him, just in case you're not sure, it's not the creamy dessert that everyone loves. And he says, damn it, I thought it was the creamy dessert. No, he hasn't. That's a shame. Moving on. Number four, what is the most important thing in your life right now? Of course, he says, family. And that is the very best answer. Family's number one, folks, right? Number five, you've mentioned before that snow can keep you stuck at home. Do you live in a forest under a mountain? And he said, yes, I do live in a forest under a mountain. Laugh out loud. Not. In my area, the city does not plow right away, so the snow builds up, and if you have a small car, you'll get stuck. Interesting. Number six, you enjoy working out. Describe your routine, or if it includes lifting empty pizza boxes to the garage. And he says his routine varies from day to day. It could be weights one day, and he tries to go the heaviest he can for as many reps and sets and bodyweight exercises the next day. Sounds impressive. Better than me. I'm still lugging those pizza boxes. Number seven, name a place you've never been and why you want to go there. And he says, to Ireland, so I can catch a banshee and a leprechaun. That's not stereotypical at all. Number eight, complete this sentence. When I think of my former place of employment, I get horribly sick and take a huge dump and barf. Laugh out loud. No love lost there. Very descriptive. Thank you, Richard. Number nine, Facebook is a place for information and chatting with your friends. What is one thing that you shouldn't use it for? And he says, airing your dirty laundry. Give us dirty laundry. Number 10, if you were unable to work in security, what would you do for a living? And social assistance doesn't count. And he says, probably in auto mechanics. Nice, nice, honest day's work. Number 11, have you ever seen friends on Facebook, and when you write to them, they suddenly go offline? And he said, yes, chat likes to do that a lot. No comments. Number 12, have you ever Googled yourself, and be as graphic as you like with your answer? And he said he did once, and there's one with my name in Holland. I'm sure he's talking about a person, but you never know. Number 13, have you ever lied about being sick to get out of work? He says, yes. Number 14, the last of Richard. One more time. The last time you punched a wall or cement? He said, it's been a while. Last time you visited your old place of work? He said, never. I usually make it a rule not to go back to where I've worked previously. In the case of a hospital, if I have an appointment, then I have no choice. Last time the snow kept you from leaving your cave? He says, I usually try and go in anyways, but if I get stuck, then I call in to let them know I'll be late, etc. Last dance with Mary Jane? Never done that. Last time you smiled? Whenever my kids make me laugh. Aw, so cute. Last time you told someone you have Dutch roots? He said, probably a week ago. About a week ago. Last time someone asked you to be part of a podcast? And he says, this guy named Chad. Asks him daily. What a loser. This guy needs to get a life. Always begging people to be on his show. Number 15. Would you say you have a big ego? What do you have to be proud of? And he says, there's many things to be proud of, but number one is my family. Couldn't agree more, Richard. Number 16, if your former boss would physically assault you, which would be your response? A, let him do it because he's the boss and you don't want to anger him more. B, cry like a baby and hope he shows mercy. C, shake his hand after and say, thank you for the lesson. Or D, find a nice flight of stairs to help him get to his destination faster. He says, LMAO, which stands for laugh my ass off. The answer would be D. It is what it is. Number 17, you've done lots of things for money. What is the one thing you would not do? He says probably become a stripper, but he does say probably. Doesn't say definitely not. Probably is a maybe. Number 18, name one time where you've used your position to your advantage. I've done this once where I made a new recruit work out in the heat. He actually liked it because he was like, you're my boss, so I have to do what you say. And yes, he was from the Middle East, so he didn't know the laws of work. Ooh. Oh boy, Richard. Oh boy. Number 19, where were you when 9/11 happened? Were you even born then? He says, I had just started working for Loblaws, and yes, I was born then, you silly fool. Such language. And number 20, finally, again, name your favorite podcast. And he says, if there was one, it would be wrestling or weightlifting / bodybuilding related. Oh, close. We'll work on that, Richard. We'll get you to name your favorite podcast. I don't want to say the name of it out loud, but it rhymes with Bow Buddies are So Buddies. Yeah, I think that's it. I hope you enjoyed that. 20 questions. He answered everything as good as he possibly could, which was awesome, and I appreciate his answers. And hopefully you like the questions. And if you want to learn more, just bug me to bug him to say you want him to be on the show, and we're going to make it happen. If enough pressure, you know, if you pressure people right, they're going to give in. So definitely help me pressure Richard Mystery, to be a guest on my show. Now, as we move in, here's our full feature interview. Here's my talk with Leah. Leah, thank you so much for being a guest. I appreciate you and your story, and I hope everyone gets something out of this. I know I did. Thank you, Leah, for being a guest. Leah, welcome to the car. I appreciate you sitting in my car, doing a podcast interview with me, as we watch the traffic in the road.
No problem.
And hear sounds from my phone all the time. Because you put yours on silent, but I neglected to do that, unfortunately. That's okay. My mistake. So I know you've never listened to my show before. I'm going to ask you one of my very patented questions, one I ask all my guests, and I demand an answer.
Okay.
Leah, tell me your very first, earliest childhood memory.
What I remember as a child? I believe my first memory I can remember is with my mother when she was alive. Mm-hmm. We went for a bike ride to get treats.
Nice.
That's my earliest memory of my mother. Of my father, I remember, this is a funny story, I called my grandma by her first name, Betty.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, no, it's grandma. And I'm like, Betty, whack, whack. And he whacked me.
Oh.
And he said, grandma. And I said, Betty, whack. I got whacked a couple times that day.
Oh.
So I remember that distinctly.
Well, that's unfortunate. That's not a positive memory.
No, not really.
You said you mentioned your mother when she was alive, and unfortunately she passed away.
Yes.
How long ago was that?
She passed away on Valentine's Day of 1993.
Okay, and you were?
I was 11.
How did you react to that? How did you take that?
It was hard. It was very hard because she was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And the disease she had, Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS,
mm-hmm.
is a brutal disease.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes you from a normal walking human being to a walker, to a wheelchair, to bedridden. Mm-hmm. And she only lived 3 years when she was diagnosed.
So 1990, she was diagnosed, and by 1993 she was gone.
That's right.
Yeah. And how did your dad, how did your relationship with your dad change after that point?
Oh, my dad went through a hard depression, stage of depression. He used to, I'm not trying to laugh at him, but it was kind of interesting. We used to get peanut butter cookies with peanut butter filling, and he loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to have a stack of them for 12 of them, dipping them, and had a toque on his head. He was in depression. It was bad.
Is this his coping way, to eat and
dress? I'm not saying I would know how to cope with that, mm-hmm. but that's just the way he coped with it.
Did your relationship with him, did it improve? Did you get closer because?
At one point we did, yep.
Yeah.
At one point, yep.
Just after she passed away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He married, very soon after, about 2 years after Mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to a woman that was a wicked woman. She was terrible. He didn't even know her for 3 weeks, and they tied the knot.
How did he meet her? Do you know?
From a friend. From church, I believe.
Okay. So he's very involved in church, and I guess he looked at church to kind of
get through what your mother's passing and tried to cope with everything.
Yeah.
And then he was introduced to someone to kind of move on with his life.
That's right. Like church has been a huge thing in our lives. We're Christians, so mm-hmm. We rely on our faith and our beliefs and
all your life.
Our hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he met this woman. You were 13 by then.
Yep.
That he met her, and instantly, was there like problems between you two?
Well,
or?
What I remember actually is she had 4 other kids.
Wow.
And so there were 7 of us all together, because I have a sister and a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, all I remember is my sister and I, my real sister, were sitting at the piano playing songs, and we had headphones on. All I remember is she yelled something, and we were trying to hear what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we said pardon or something. She comes and yanks us by our ponytails off the bench and sends us to a room with nothing, with no dinner or anything.
You and your sister.
That's right.
But no explanation.
That's right.
Was your dad there? What did
My dad was at Front and Young Public School, which is near us in Mallorytown,
mm-hmm.
playing basketball.
At the time. Huh? So he didn't know what was going on. She was babysitting you.
That's right.
So when you got home and he saw you, did you tell him what happened?
No, I wasn't able to.
What do you mean?
She sent us to a room for the night. We couldn't leave the room.
Did he come and check on you in your room or come and talk to you?
Nope.
Was that a normal occurrence that he would just acquiesce to what she said or did when he was
away? He was controlled by her, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you saw him at some point then and you told him what was going on?
She threatened us.
In what way?
She said, if you tell your dad what happened today, you're going to get it even worse.
Oh, my God. And so you're never able to feel comfortable to tell your dad because you're worried for your safety.
That's right.
And your sister's safety.
Yep.
You're the oldest?
I am the oldest.
So you felt protective of your brother and sister?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was she more focused on you as opposed to the other children?
Well, she hated my brother and I.
Mm-hmm.
She hated me because I was just like my mom. Like, I look like my mom, sound like my mom, have faith like my mom, and she hated me.
Did she have faith as well?
That's questionable. Yeah. It's between her and God, in that department.
Did she attend church with you guys?
Yeah,
or?
She waved her hands and spoke in tongues and all everything, but yet at home, it was a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did she ever, was she constantly like this in your life when you were at home with her, or was there ever points in time where she was able to communicate with you and were you able to feel closer to her at some point?
Well, there was, after I ran away when I was 17, I got in contact with my dad again.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where Jerry, her name's Jerry, by the way.
Yeah.
And when her and dad, took me to a park and she apologized for everything she did.
So when you left, you were 17, and when you spoke to them again, you were how old?
Probably 19, 20.
A couple years have passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk about your time leaving, how that went? Like, how you decided to, you had enough and you were going to leave the house?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you that. My prom, my high school prom,
mm-hmm.
I had arranged for a gentleman to pick me up at my grandma's to take me to the prom.
Right.
And
this is Betty?
Hmm?
This is Betty?
No. His name is Wyatt.
No, but the grandmother. Betty, we're talking about Betty.
Not grandma, no.
Oh, okay.
No, she died a little while after that.
Oh, okay.
And, no, this is my grandma on my mom's side.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And Wyatt is the boy's name. Yeah, I figured.
That's right. No, not Betty.
Okay. His name's not Betty?
No,
okay.
His name's not Betty.
Oh, I thought I knew
it's
him.
It's Wyatt.
It's Wyatt.
Yeah.
Sorry,
anyways,
Wyatt.
So, I arranged a time for him to pick me up at my Grandma Dickie's, my mom's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, there was a point where I felt guilty. So I phoned Jerry up when I was waiting at Grandma's, and I told her what was going on. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lie to you, and I didn't mean to go behind your back, but I just want you to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I went to... So she ended up driving my date and I to the prom. That was awkward.
How did she react when you called?
Oh, she was livid. She was like, how dare you? How do you expect me to trust you? And this, that, and the other thing, and I just complied. But anyway, so back to the last time she abused me and when I got out was about a week later.
Mm-hmm.
She was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And she looks at me and she said, you only told me because you knew you'd get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, with God as my witness, I did not. And she just took her fist and put wham in my face.
Like,
oh, my God. Oh yeah. I was bleeding. I had a bloody nose or bloody tooth or whatever I had. And
did you attempt to strike her back, or did what did you do next?
Well, when I got home, my dad was at the front of the stairs, and he didn't see me because his back was turned, and she literally almost pushed me down the stairs when I got home.
Oh my God. Right in front of your dad, and he didn't notice this.
Yeah. And anyway, my sister was at the bottom of the stairs, and she looks at me and she says, "Leah, you gotta get out. Like, you need to get out. She hates you. She's hurting you, treats you like crap. You gotta get out, right?"
Was she better to your sister?
Yes,
than
she
you?
Was. How come? Because Sarah fought back.
And like,
if she hit Sarah in the face, Sarah hit her in the face.
And that would go back.
That's
and forth.
Right.
And you never.
I never touched her.
How come?
Because I was raised, by my mom and dad, where the children obey your parents and be respectful to your parents.
Right, but when
even
they're...
though she wasn't being respectful,
mm-hmm.
every time she hit me, or every time she beat me with the belt, or every time she punched me in the face, or whatever she felt did, there was this a little Bible verse that went in my head, which was "Love one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another."
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where that's found, but that's what was in my head. I said to myself, you know, if I strike back, I'm no better than her.
Right.
And so, I never did.
Did your dad not know this was happening? Could he not see this happening in his home?
No, he did not know.
And you never spoke to him about it?
I did after I left.
After you left.
And when I told him, he was in tears.
But did he not see marks on you or like bruises or...
No. It's because we had to pretty much wear... not like, you know, like we couldn't wear anything not revealing. And mm-hmm. we were controlled, like... She was an ex-cop, and she just controlled
really?
Our every move. Yeah.
I can't believe he didn't...
Yeah, I know.
Or know,
I can't
or wasn't
believe either.
Aware. And your brother, too, he was a victim of her as well.
That's right. Not as bad as me, but... sorry.
Okay.
He got thrown down the stairs a couple times.
Oh, my God.
And
did he fight back?
Oh, there was a point where she bought dog. They bought dogs.
Mm-hmm.
A Sheltie and a Blue Merrill.
Mm-hmm.
Sheltie. And my brother got so mad once, he took a bat to, not the dogs, but the cages.
Right.
He just got so upset,
destroyed,
like so angry.
Yeah.
And to this day, he has a slight anger problem because of her.
Makes sense,
yeah. He wanted to kill her.
I can imagine. So you ran away, and then your sister and your brother stayed.
That's right.
I shouldn't say run away. You left the home.
Yes.
Yeah, you left.
That's right.
And you were gone for 2 years with no communication with your dad. Did your
That's
dad
right.
try to contact you? Did she try to contact you? Your sister, your brother? Anybody reach
no,
out?
No, not really. Well, unfortunately, when anyone was in Jerry's control, you can't do anything. Like, she just has you pretty much under lock and key.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
So, what was how did you finally get in contact with your dad again? Like, did you reach out to him, or?
Yep. I reached out to him.
How'd that go?
Well, when I moved back to Mallorytown, because I was living with a woman from the work I used to work at Wendy's on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went when I ran away.
Right.
And this woman named Linda Gowden, her last name was, and I lived with her for a bit. But then I couldn't live with her anymore, so I moved back to Mallorytown.
Right.
How
big is Mallorytown?
For those who don't know. Population 150.
Where is it close to for people who don't
Brockville.
Know? Brockville, okay.
Yeah.
Got you.
But yeah, so we, what was the question you asked?
I'd ask how you got in contact
with
and
my
why,
dad.
And basically why, I guess, at this point you got in contact with him.
Well, I missed him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's my father, right?
Right.
And even though everything that went down, I still loved him.
Right.
And I still wanted a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But... she wasn't very, she didn't let him, she controlled him, like.
So were you able to contact him directly without her? Like, did you have to call the house? Did you call his cell phone?
He didn't have a cell. I think I met my sisters, my stepsister and my sister, at the bus stop
mm-hmm.
one time. Because I lived at the house, like, short, like, little farther up
right.
in the country. And I walked down to the bus stop one day and I told my sister... please tell Dad I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to talk to him.
Yeah.
So then I met her again at the bus stop because Dad gave her a message through, gave me a message to her,
yep.
and said, I'll meet you at Wendy's at such and such a time. And I met my dad there. And then that's when I told him everything. And that's when he cried.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you, going back for 1 second, she had children as well. Did you get along with them when you were in the house? Did she abuse them as well?
She slapped them in the face. That's pretty much all. Yep, that's pretty much all I remember.
Did you get along with them?
Her daughter that was the same age as me didn't like me. She liked me at first, but then she didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And her youngest daughter, Kathleen, she was good friends with my sister.
Was that the one that met you at the bus stop with your sister?
Yeah, okay. Kathleen and Sarah, yeah.
Okay.
They met me at the bus stop. And that's how I got messages to my dad.
Mm-hmm. So you saw him at Wendy's. You finally had a chance to talk to him. You told him everything you just basically told me. You told him everything. Yeah. And his reaction, was he cried, but was he surprised? Did he seem like he didn't know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then what happened next?
Well, then Jerry found out where I was, and she brought Dad to where I was staying, and they knocked on the door, and I knew it was her because my heart was like pounding.
Are you living alone or do you have
people? No, I live with friends of the family.
Okay.
And she didn't touch me again. Like, she never touched me again.
I would hope not.
They kept me safe.
Yeah.
And my grandpa came up with my uncle Mark, one of my uncles, and they came to the house at the same time because I called them.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa, I think I talked to Grandpa. I said, Grandpa, Dad and Jerry are here. Can you please get them away from me? I was trembling. Like, I was scared.
You didn't want your dad around at this point?
Well, because I knew I couldn't get him without her.
Right.
And anyways, your grandpa came up right away
mm-hmm.
with Uncle Mark. And he basically told Jerry, leave her alone. Mm-hmm. Like, leave. She doesn't want anything to do with you.
No.
You've done enough damage to that girl to last a lifetime. Right. Which it has.
Right.
Yeah.
And did she leave quietly?
Eventually, because they threatened to call the cops.
They did, your dad and...
Judy and Wayne Cathcart.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she eventually left. Is that the last time you saw Jerry?
At this point? Pretty much, yeah.
And she's no longer with your dad?
No, they divorced.
Not long after? Or?
No, they divorced. My dad got remarried in 2000... 11, I believe. Yeah, 11. And he divorced in 2009, I'm going to say. Yeah.
So when she was out of his life, were you free to contact him again? Like, did you have no more relationship with him after this point until they got divorced? Like,
well, when they got divorced, I reached out to him.
Again. Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Gatineau at the time with my ex-husband, Mark Balduke. And we invited my dad to live with us.
Well,
to get out of that. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And he took the offer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he said sure, and so he lived with my ex-husband and I for about a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he met his wife now today.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's she like?
Oh, she's wonderful.
Is she?
Yeah, her name is Melinda.
I'm relieved to hear that. I wasn't sure what you were going to say. I was like, oh, she's...
Yes.
And she's Melinda and she's great.
She's a godsend. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you've met... Did you know her before he met her?
No.
No?
He met her online.
Okay.
On christiancafe.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, in that app or whatever, that dating site, you can only have a free trial. He had like 3 days left of his trial, and that's when he met her.
That's right. It's like, before you go.
Yes.
He's going to give it up before you go.
That's right.
Here's one special woman for
that's
you.
That's right.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yes. So it was meant to be.
That's right.
That's really good. So when he lived with you and your husband at the time, you guys got along. Everything was okay.
Oh, yeah.
There's no kids in the house. Like, your brother and your sister were grown up by this point.
That's right.
And you guys didn't have any children.
That's
you
right.
And your husband.
That's right.
So did your husband and him get along at the time?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. And then he moved out, and then you moved on.
Yep.
So tell me about being married for yourself. How did you find your relationship, your love?
Well, we met on a dating site, too.
The same one?
Nope. Plenty of Fish.
Okay. Heard of it.
Yes.
Plenty of Catfish.
Yeah. Right now, it's like pretty much a hookup site.
Yeah, basically, anyway. Yeah. It's free.
Back then, yeah, it's free, yeah. Back then, though, it wasn't. It was quite all right. Like, it was right okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 2007.
Okay.
That's when that's where the year I met him. And he winked at me, I think.
He sent a wink? Like a winky face?
And he messaged me, too.
Nice. Gotta follow up.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I winked at you. Just letting you know.
No, not really.
I like
that.
You.
He said, well, one thing that really stuck out for me was he wanted a woman that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. That was on his profile. I was just like,
a lot of guys don't say that.
Most guys don't say
or
that.
Or it's a pickup line. I'm not going to lie to you. I follow Jesus Christ. Whatever you want me to do. Now, will you come to my house?
Well, he wasn't like that.
That's good.
He lived in Gatineau at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at the St. Joseph Boulevard McDonald's.
In Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I remember our first date, we met at McDonald's.
Oh.
After your shift? Yeah.
Come and sit down. And
yeah, exactly.
After work.
And
all your coworkers can check him out and make sure he's he's on the up and up.
Exactly.
I like it. Okay. How'd that go?
And our second date, he brought me to a sports shop.
Okay. Is that where he worked?
Nope.
Hmm.
He said, I want you to pick out a pair of skates because I want to skate with you.
Oh.
So he bought me, I still have them to this day,
mm-hmm.
women's figure skates.
Nice.
To skate. I wasn't very good at skating, but when I held his hand when we skated, it was good.
Right.
But anyways, but yeah, we fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
And we dated for almost 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proposed.
Nice.
And I got married about 6 months later.
What year is this?
2008.
2008.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
And then you asked your dad to move in.
That's right. Then dad moved in.
And then he moved out.
Yep. And then he moved out. And then another girl that I met in the past, I ran into her in Ottawa one day on the bus. And she was going to be homeless, so we had her live with us, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Until she could get her. Taking people in.
Until she could get her feet off the ground, you know?
Right.
But, yeah. But being married, I have to be honest, it... You know, when people say they'll get married, it's usually only for the good times. When the bad times come...
It's harder, right? It's a test to see how strong your love and your relationship is,
like,
right?
Like, he was a great guy, like... for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have bipolar disorder. And because of that, I made it difficult on him. Like...
In what ways?
Well, when you have bipolar and you're not medicated, there's a chemical imbalance, right?
Right.
So you're moody.
Right.
You get moody. Or you get... So that things happen that you can't control.
Right.
Yeah. And, yeah. And eventually he got a little bitter because of what was going on with me. Like, we lived in Quebec, right?
Right.
The healthcare there stinks.
It does.
And
you can get a family doctor. It's not very easy.
You have to pay for it.
Yep.
And anyway, so, and because he only had a job, he only worked 6 months out of the year. He mm-hmm. was a horticulturist.
Right. Nice.
The pressure was on me to get a job.
The
stock
up.
Exactly.
Right.
And because of that, I ended up in psychiatric hospital every year of our marriage. Sometimes twice a year.
You were married for how long?
4 years.
No.
Yeah.
Because of the stress, you would
That's
have
right.
a hard time coping.
That's right.
Did he come and, like, support you? Was
he did, you? Yes. And at the same time, he didn't know what to do. Cause,
right.
Because when I wasn't medicated, like I told you, perfectly medicated, I was up and down all around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for him because... You know, he was trying to keep a...
Positive
exactly.
look on it all, right?
Exactly.
He'd try to reassure you, and you like, would have none of it some days, right?
What's that?
And you would have none of it some days.
Some
you'd,
days,
you'd be
yeah.
like, oh, this isn't yeah. working for me.
And, that's right.
Right.
Yep.
So you said he became bitter. Was this just as the marriage went on, or he was having a hard time finding a way to cope through it?
He was having a hard time finding the way to cope through it. Like... And one day I was so stressed, I woke up and I didn't even know him. I was so stressed.
You were at
stressed.
Home, he was there, and you wondered.
That's right.
Who
I didn't
was.
Even know him. And I was married to him. And it was like, it was almost like one of those shows where you wake up in a dream and you're married to someone and you don't even know who they are. And And I was just like, well, I don't know you. And then we had to get, we were married, so we slept in the same bed and everything, and I felt so uncomfortable because I didn't know him.
Are you speaking metaphorically, like you didn't know him as a person? I don't know you anymore, or like you didn't really know him?
I didn't know him.
Like amnesia, like you didn't know
him. I think like amnesia.
Him. Wow.
I was under so much stress.
So he must have been freaking out at this point, wondering, okay, yeah. Like we're going from bad to worse.
Cause, yeah.
So what, how did you, like what happened next, if you remember? Were you able to figure things out? Did he take you to the hospital? Did he?
Yeah, he took me to the hospital.
Yeah.
And again, the healthcare there actually stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't speak French, they don't respect you.
Right.
And it was hell. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard about anything from psychiatric hospitals, but you feel like you're in jail. You can't do anything without permission,
mm-hmm.
except for sleep.
Right.
And
draw on something called a form. They keep you there. Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
And sometimes they don't keep you long enough. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm at the Gatineau-L'Hôpital. I met a girl named Elaine Marie. I can't remember what her name was. Like, totally. But anyway, this girl was a younger girl. She was like, I was like 26 maybe,
mm-hmm.
27, and she was like 24. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I met her and I sang to her because I like singing.
Nice.
And I play the piano too, but anyway, I sang to her and I got to know her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she came in with a police officer when she first came in, so I knew something was up,
right?
She was suicidal, right? Anyways, I got to know her and I got to know her mom. I met her mom and family, some of the family. And she got let go from the hospital like 2 days after she was admitted.
Yep, 72 hours probably. Yep.
And
48 hours, I should say.
Yep.
Yep.
And I got an email about a year later, maybe 6 months to a year later, that said Marie Elaine took her life. They let her go way too soon.
An email? How did you get?
By her mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
And sorry to hear that.
She was a young, beautiful girl. Like, mm-hmm. it was so sad. And I'm not trying to say that all people in Gatineau-L'Hôpital get let go early. However, that one did.
It's a general problem with hospitals is that they're overcrowded and they don't have room for everybody. And they take the most, you know, what they deem to be the most severe based on factors. But unfortunately, some people fall through the cracks. Right.
That's right. It was sad. I was very sad.
Did that affect your treatment when you were there or going through that, knowing that, you know...
I did, and I yelled at the staff.
If you didn't feel safe to leave, they might, you know, make you leave anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
You yelled at the staff? What did you remember?
I basically said, you killed her!
And they, of course, they're accustomed to hearing that, and they react accordingly, but...
I think I got tied down to the bed after that moment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's frustrating on a personal level because, I mean, in your mind, you feel like this is not helping you, right?
No.
And how do you expect to get better
if
they're not helping other people? You watch.
Exactly.
Yep. It's like if you watch someone do something wrong and then they say, okay, you're next. And you think, well, like it's if you're an addendum, not trying to minimize it, but if you're the
darned
dentist.
Darned if you do and darned if you don't.
And they take out a drill and they go through their hole and the person's in so much pain, you're like, and Leah, your turn. And you're like, no thanks.
No thanks.
No, I'll be going somewhere else.
Yeah, I yelled at them. They got a yelling.
So how did you get to a better place? Like, so your marriage lasted for 4 years. What was the breaking point then of that? Were you still in hospital when it was breaking, when you were breaking up? Or how did you get
home? I got out of the hospital. We got robbed.
Oh, boy.
3 times.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And we had a security system in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And we still got robbed. No, before, this is before we got robbed. We had a security system and after we got robbed. And they took, like, the computer.
Remind me what security system it is so we don't go there.
I don't remember.
I'll be on the lookout for that.
Falcon security?
I'll keep that in mind.
I don't know.
No,
we didn't have security when we got robbed. We got security because we got robbed. And it was terrible. I felt so scared in my own home.
Were you at home? Was it a home invasion?
The first time, no. I just got out of the hospital and I came home to us being robbed. And it happened 3 times. The guy came back.
The same person?
Yep. We believe it was.
No one was ever caught?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
He came back, and we boarded up the door, because he broke the door when he came in.
Do you know this person? Or no. Does he know, no. Like, it seems like this is a targeted
incident. No, we don't know this person. We never knew this person. But anyways, the second time he tried to get in, he couldn't get in because the door was boarded. Like, the cops boarded the door.
Right.
And we heard him, though, banging.
So you were home at this point?
Oh, yeah, the second time. Yeah.
Is it nighttime?
Nighttime, yep. And then the third time...
So what happened at that point, then? This is the nighttime you hear, you wake up to banging at the door. Does your husband go to the door, or do you just
he
know?
He just called the cops.
And said there's someone trying to get in the door.
Then he got caught.
The cops came in time before he
got
in?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, he was caught.
And there's a third time?
There was a third time, and this is before that night. He tried to come in during the day.
When you're home?
Mm-hmm. And I scared him off. I mean, I was upstairs.
Did he not know there was people home? Like,
well,
is there a car?
Well, he did eventually. No car.
Okay.
Because my ex-husband drove to work.
Right.
Or sometimes. Anyways, what happened was I was upstairs, and I heard the door, like, get banged and bang open, and I started making so much noise that he thought there was, like, an army upstairs. And he ran. Jeez. That was the second time.
That was the second time. The third time he tried to break in at
night.
That's
right. That's right.
No, but there was a car there at this point.
Yes, there was.
And he tried to break in. It was just
him
alone.
Yep.
That's kind of scary. And you don't know who it was. The cops never identified who he was to you.
No.
To ask to say, do you know this person? Because your house seems to be a target.
Yeah, no. There's never any of that. No.
Did he, the first time he took things, right?
Yes. He took the computer. We had a PC. And he took that. He took, what else did he take? He took... a TV, I think.
Oh my god.
And he took I had a Nintendo Wii with games. He took that. And I think that's and he took my jewelry. My really expensive jewelry that I got from my mother and my grandmother.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he took that.
So when your husband was visiting you at the hospital and you were just getting out of the hospital, is when he came the first time.
That's right.
There was no
My ex-husband was at a friend's, I believe, and I was coming home.
Right.
And I came home to the
the mess
exactly.
of the place. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really devastating when you get out of a hospital and you're trying to get better.
I know.
And you come home to your house being destroyed.
When it rains, it pours.
When it rains, it pours. Well, that's one way to look at it. When you called your husband and you told him,
and
oh my
I told
God,
him, he
robbed.
Was like, what?
What?
I'm like, yeah, we just got robbed.
And I'm home from the hospital.
Yeah.
Good news and bad news.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But at some point you guys, so I guess keep taking me through then. So at some point you guys broke up.
Yes.
You got divorced.
Yes.
What was the breaking point then, if you don't mind saying? Or was there a breaking point or just...
Well, he said three traumatic things to me. The first thing he said, we weren't very intimate very much. And I just asked him one night, honey, why aren't we intimate that much? I don't remember what the words I used. And he looked at me and he said, well, the more I become attracted to you, the more I will want to. I was like, okay, a knife in the heart. There's one.
Yeah.
And then the second time, I bought some lingerie. I wanted to surprise him.
Right.
He yelled at me for spending the money. He yelled at me for not being responsible and spending money that we did have, but he didn't want
to
spend.
He assumed he didn't have,
exactly.
Right.
And he crushed me. Another knife in the heart. Yeah. And the third thing is, I said, why don't we have a child? You know, like, maybe that... It would benefit both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I never have a child with someone bipolar. Cuh! Three knives in the heart.
This is over a period of time?
That's right.
And that was the final straw then?
That's right.
When he wouldn't have kids with you?
That's right.
So did you tell him, okay, well, if we go and have kids, I don't see a future? Or how did you...
No, one day, this was after... That's when I was going through so much stress, by the way.
Right.
Because I felt like I didn't know this guy. Like... not because when I woke up I didn't know him, but this is before.
Now like, you're thinking like, I don't really know
exactly.
This person. I don't know who the
person
has become.
This person played me.
Yeah.
Yes. And yes. So one day he went to work and I left him.
Oh, you packed up your stuff and just left.
My
you were
sister
gone.
Helped me. Yep.
And he came home. Did he look for you? Does he know?
Oh yeah, he looked for me. He tried to look for me. He was crying. He was like, I want to do everything right. And at this point I was living with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And my stepmom, and my dad was really upset with what he did. Like, I told my dad what happened
mm-hmm.
with the three things he did he looks at me, he says, Leah, you deserve better than that.
Right.
And so he didn't exactly encourage me to get back to my husband. And anyways, Mark contacted me a little while after that, and he's like, why don't we go to marriage counseling?
Right.
But he wanted to do it on his terms with his pastor and everything. And I said, well, why don't we go to a mutual person. Yeah. A mediator.
You're right.
And he said, no, I want to do it with my pastor. And I said, well, I'm not doing it with your pastor because he already has things against me and everything. And so we didn't go for marriage counseling, and we just ended it.
So you both filed for divorce. You both agreed. Were you married legally?
Yes. We married legally. Yep. Yeah.
So you both filed for divorce. And
yep.
And so what year was this and you've been divorced from since how long?
I think either 2012 or 2013. Because what happened was when we were separated, I was seeing a guy. And, Yeah. And he accused me of cheating on him.
The husband or your new boyfriend?
My ex-husband.
Your ex-husband.
And I just went along with it because I didn't remember what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got divorced in less than a year because I cheated. Because I said I cheated anyway.
Did that make it easier to, I guess, get divorced? Was it over quicker and sooner because of that?
It was.
Did you take any penalties because of that?
No.
Or you had no property, no assets?
I didn't have any property. Everything was in his name.
Okay. So it was a quick and easy divorce, I guess.
Yep.
For as far as the paperwork goes.
I just wanted it over. Right. Like, I wanted to be able to get on with my life.
Have you had any contact with him since?
He wishes me happy birthday.
Every year?
Yes.
Oh. By email?
And I wish him by happy text? Birthday
okay.
by text.
That's not bad. Okay.
And that's the only... We're cordial.
Yeah.
Like in the years that we've been divorced,
yeah.
we're friends. Like okay. he apologized for everything he did.
Right. And said.
And we're better off friends
right.
than anything.
Okay.
Which is good.
You haven't seen him though? You just have those...
No.
The one or two?
Last time I saw him was over 2 years ago.
Okay. And he's moved on and...
Yes. He's married to a little Filipino girl.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
But since then, of course, you moved on to somebody else.
Yeah.
You had another relationship?
I had a relationship, yeah. I met this one guy, Cody, at church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was love at first sight. We were very
nice.
Into each other.
Right.
And I got pregnant right away.
Oh.
And, yep. And he ended up cheating on me when I was pregnant.
Mm.
And he also raped my good friend.
Oh, my God.
So he's in jail.
This happened before...
Well, the way it worked was we got together.
Mm-hmm.
I got pregnant. He cheated on me. He raped my friend right after that. It was after our daughter was born.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So your daughter's born. He knows. Does he know you have? Like, the daughter's
oh,
born.
Yes.
He knows you're pregnant? Okay.
She was 7 weeks early.
Wow.
So we had to go to CHEO. And I don't know. I'm not going to say this about every nurse at CHEO, but the nurses there are mean. And...
CHEO is the children's hospital yes. in Eastern Ontario.
That's right.
Yeah.
And some of them are. Not mm-hmm. all of them. But I remember this one woman, she's like, you don't bathe her that way. You bathe her this way. And then you don't do this. You do that. And she reminded me of my stepmother.
Oh, God.
And I had to spend the night there.
Right.
Like, and I don't do well in hospitals because I've been in psychiatric hospitals. I've been in all of them, almost. And, yeah.
Was your dad there or your sister or anyone there to support you during the pregnancy? Like, so I guess what I was basically asking before was that when this incident happened where he did this to your friend, was this how far along in your pregnancy was this?
Oh, it was after.
It was after the baby was born?
The cheating was during pregnancy.
Right.
The rape was after.
It was after your daughter was born.
That's right.
Okay. Were you still together with him at this point when it happened?
The
raping?
I was.
Okay.
Yep.
So how did you find out what happened? If you're able to describe it.
Well, my good friend reported him.
Did she come? Okay,
oh,
she
yeah.
didn't report him. Okay, that's
and
good.
And I found out.
Through the police or through her?
Through my sister.
Well.
Who had a conversation with my friend. Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's in jail
for a
long time.
He's where
he belongs. I found out later, that he raped his sister as well.
His own sister?
His own sister.
Oh, my goodness.
And he sexually assaulted his daughter in another marriage when he was married.
He had another child that
he
you
did,
that you didn't
a daughter.
Know about?
No, I knew about her.
Mm-hmm.
He sexually assaulted her.
And, of course, you had no idea what kind of person this was
no.
when you first met him in church.
I know.
He was there to,
yeah.
you know... To give his faith and
I was
to
blindsided.
You had no idea. There's no way you could have known.
No.
the stuff that came out after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have your daughter.
How old is she now? Yes. Well, she's gonna be 3 in January 23rd, but I had a mental breakdown.
After all this, I understand. I mean, this is news to take after news to take after news to take, right?
But Cody's mom and dad, they were living in Cambridge at the time,
right?
And they had me come up and visit them, and I was in such a state that I was so stressed. I was going out of my mind because of everything that happened. I didn't feel like I was going to give Sienna. Sienna's her name, by the way.
Nice name.
Beautiful. Yeah, I wasn't going to give Sienna a good life if she was with me. So I didn't feel adequate enough. So I said to Lee, is her name, by the way, the adoptive mom.
Mm-hmm.
I said to Lee one day, I said, maybe I should let my sister raise Sienna. And she looks at me and she said, I remember these words. She said, Leah, let us have her. Like, she's going to have many sisters and brothers. They have 7 kids. And, you know, she said, let us raise her and us give her a good home.
That's his parents.
That's right.
How do you feel about that? Are you comfortable with that?
Yes. I stayed there for a couple nights.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good Christian, solid Christian home.
And they know about their son, obviously, and what he's done.
They do.
What was their reaction? Were they... Because it seems like he has a long history.
Lee was crying. I remember sleeping downstairs in the basement, and all I heard was wailing from Lee. Like, when I told her everything that happened.
They had no idea, because...
They knew about his sister. It seems like there
was a history,
but they didn't know about everything else. No.
So they knew, basically, that their daughter was raped by him.
That's right.
Wow. So how do you... So, knowing these kinds of things, how do you feel now? Like, knowing that you go to church, you go to... For yourself, you go to find your faith, you go to heal yourself. And then you do meet people there. You've met a couple partners there. And seeing how things turn out, do you lose faith in finding people through the church or finding people through your faith because of this?
In a way, yep. But in another way, I'm also hopeful that there are good people out there, you mm-hmm. know? Like, not everyone is like that.
Right.
I know I picked a bad grape or a bad tomato or whatever
maybe
I picked.
Maybe they found you. Yes. I don't know if they picked them. Maybe they found you.
But not everyone is like that mm-hmm. at church. And
have you thought of looking outside the church when it comes to that? Has it like kind of shaken your faith a bit?
No. My faith has always been strong because of the way I was raised.
Right.
And my mom, when she was alive, she showed me unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness.
Right.
So I try to live by her example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're doing good so far.
Yeah.
It's so much to take on, though.
Yes, it is.
So how does it shape your, you know... You want to move on. You want to have you want to get married again, right? Would you get married
again?
Yes,
I do, yes.
And you want to find a stable relationship?
Yes, I do.
And do you want to have more kids?
No.
No?
No, because... I mean, I shouldn't say totally no. It's headed towards no because I don't want Sienna growing up and saying to me one day, Mom, because we're going to have a relationship. We are.
Right.
Sienna and I.
Do you have one now?
No. But, we are going to.
Right.
I don't want her growing up, like when she's like 16 or so, and saying to me, Mom, how come you raised him or her, which is the one babies I'll have in the future or whatever, and not me?
And not me.
That's heartbreaking. Right.
I can't imagine that. And what do you say? You can explain all the reasons why, you know, you gave her, for the reasons why you gave her a better life, or you thought what you did when she was born.
Yes.
But... It all depends on how she'll take it, right?
Exactly.
Will she see it that way?
Exactly.
The questions you won't have to answer, right? And so you don't have to think about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have some contact with her now? You have some communication?
She lives in Kitchener.
She knows who you are?
She doesn't know who I am.
Okay.
She lives in Kitchener because they moved to Kitchener. And
it's about 7 hours from you right now.
When she was born with an unattached esophagus.
Oh, my God.
And because she was preemie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she had extensive surgery on her when she was like a day old because they had to detach the esophagus.
Right, right.
And then about a year later or so, there was a leak. Like, she started getting food in her lungs. She got sick. And she still gets that now. She's supposed to have another surgery, but can you imagine a little girl having so many surgeries? And I know they say that it's good for her, but how can it be? But anyway, so she...
I don't know who would say that
those
surgeries
I know.
Are good for you, unless getting getting them out of the way sooner might be, but that's still not a good, you know, that she has to go through it, right?
But anyway, so they're playing it by ear this winter. They're mm-hmm. they might do another surgery on her to get the leak fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it only appears when she has, like, a cold or something.
Okay.
So, but Lee and Tom, that's the adopted parents.
Right.
They promised me that I could see her eventually. Like, she's not well enough to travel right now.
Right.
But
can you get to her?
I get pictures of her.
Right.
I haven't tried that, but I would imagine I could.
Do you drive?
No.
You have a car?
I don't drive.
Your sister?
Yeah, my sister
someone
drives.
Someone could take you down. Like, you're, what I'm getting at is that you're allowed to go and you can go to her place.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that sounds like it'd be very therapeutic for you to kind of spend some time with her and get her to know her mom.
Yes.
Right? And then start building your relationship, because really, out of all this that you've told me, the one bright shining light is your lovely daughter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what you hold on to.
That's right.
So your plans for the future then, before I let you, before I kick you out of my car, you want to obviously spend time with your daughter, you want to have a relationship with her, and you want to meet someone who is, you know, accepting of you and your daughter at this point, because now you need to find someone who is, you know, not just accepting of the church, accepting of you, accepting of your daughter. Everything goes with it, right? Do you think that's going to be a bit of a struggle, or
it's
just let
God's
it happen?
Hands.
Let it happen, right?
Yep.
Right. I got you. And what else do you have besides relationships? What else is your plans for the future? Where do you see yourself?
I just take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have any plans, so to speak.
Or one place you'd like to go or visit. Well, I'm all about travel, so that's why I'm getting to that one.
Oh,
I just
want
to know, where would you travel to? Because I got a passport now, so.
Oh, yeah?
I'm all over the state of New York. I'm just going to throw that in there. I always do it every intro of my podcast. But where would Leah like to go? Where would she take off to if she could?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll get back to you. I'm gonna make you give me an answer at some point. Well, I appreciate you being open and honest and coming to my car. You're in talking to me about this personal stuff. And I know people who listen, anyone who knows anyone going through it or has gone through it or struggling with things, hopefully they can get something out of it too.
Yeah,
that's what this is for. Well, thank you so much for being an awesome person.
No problem.
Sorry, what did you just say?
The louder, the better.
Did you just ask me if you're loud enough?
Yeah.
So this is my first time recording a podcast interview in the car. You're my first.
Okay.
Tell me how that makes you feel. Describe in great detail.
I'm anxious. I'm a little anxious, but not so much. I love talking. I'm a social butterfly, so.
Can you scream?
Scream?
You're in a car. Yeah. Perfect. This is just a test.
Okay.
The Nobodies Are Somebody's podcast with Chad Weiss. Next week, same time, another guest.